Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring.
Keep pouring, my friend.
Baby, baby, please.
Baby, baby, please don't stop. Cause you love it. I should switch that lyric. Cause you're drinking is good to the very last drop. Oh, now that's the sweet smell of Cavalon in the morning. Well, morning no more now. It's 12 o'clock noon. So therefore, we can drink. Although, I'm a brunch kind of guy, and I believe you should be able to drink between 10:30 and 11:59 a.m. in the morning. Ooh, we already starting here, people. I'm already taking sips and drinks here. People, welcome to the year or the 2021 replacement of bar reviews because of COVID. I like to call this Talking Cavalon, which your godfather of whiskey, JB. Or as some people have been calling it. And the reason why they're calling it is because I've got this note from Mr. Art Lunatic calling it the JB Show, starring yours truly, JB. I floated that around and someone said the JB Show. So I was like, you know what? I kind of like that. But for the references of since I've already did episode one last month, if you will, I'm just going to stick with Talking Cavalon. On the title, at least. But I'm going to call it the JB Show, nonetheless. Either way, I digress. How's everyone doing, everyone out there? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's the best time to drink. In the middle of the week, 11:59 a.m. Ah, it's no better time. And we got a lot of news and stuff to talk about. I mean, the first two things I want to get over is, I was going to say thoughts and condolences, but nobody really died. So I guess just, state of Texas, my thoughts are with you. And, at least the states that aren't, or the cities that aren't ignorant as fuck. But my thoughts are with you. I was talking to my, my dad, if you will, in Texas, Austin, Texas, Mr. Martin underscore Nofro from DoubleToasted.com. Go ahead and check them out. And he said, you know, he's doing well. So not everybody lost their power, it would seem. But hopefully the people that have lost their power, hopefully Ted Cruz can get off his fat ass and do something. Anyway, we're not going to bash on Ted Cruz. I mean, he did just fly to Cancun, Texas, and oh, wait, that's not in Texas? That's, oh, that's Mexico? Oh, Mexico, huh? Wasn't that the country he was bad-mouthing that sends all the deplorables and stuff like that? Oh, man, I love how these people that were talking shit about, like, Mexicans and how they send rapists and drug dealers and shit like that or whatever over the borders, all of a sudden, they're just all hanging out in Mexico. You know, the funny thing is, Pops, Papa Martin, he sent me a message back, and he was telling me that their mayor did the same thing. I looked this up. I guess it was a year ago, right when the pandemic hit, and he was telling me that the mayor was telling people to stay inside as this motherfucker was in Mexico at, like, his daughter's wedding or something like that. I've already forgotten the details, and may it be, and he was a Democrat, too, so, not to just throw bash at a Republican every now and then, fuck you, too, Mayor of Texas. I don't like when you don't practice what you fucking preach, especially when you're a politician. Now, you can do whatever the hell you want, but it's like, you gotta lead by example, bro, especially because we see in these times that people listen to their politicians, or the local politicians, especially the main one at top, given the Trump status of their thing there. But, yeah, fuck you, Ted Cruz. But we should pay our condolences. Not to the people of Texas, though. Because I believe they're going to get through this. Texas, they get through everything. Everything's bigger in Texas, and they handle it in big ways. They're going to get through this. Although, when I saw that photo, that dude's chandelier, was it, maybe it was a ceiling fan, and that shit had icicles attached to it, I was like, raise the taxes all in California, you won't. I don't give a fuck. I ain't never moving. I ain't never seen no shit like that. At stateside, at least. That's funny because a lot of people, we were just talking about me and Cody, few episodes ago, a lot of people were leaving California to move to Texas. Could you imagine if you just moved to Texas from California and that's the first sign of a natural disaster you get? Is the no power, it's freezing cold, and people are sleeping in like Rent-A-Center or some shit like that. I bet they want to move back to Cal. They're like, fuck this. This shit, I'd rather pay them high-ass taxes. And this is where I'm here to stop you and say, no. No. You're not allowed to come back. We're going to charge you for trying to come back and increase in taxes. It's a move-back-in tax. So don't come back here, please. But we should pay our condolences and respects to a man passed away. And I'd want to be the first one to say... you know, I'm going to be one of the first ones to pay my condolences, if you will, for him passing away. Rush Limbaugh died, and no, it's not a joke. He did. He died, and I, for one, am kind of happy in a little bit. I got to tell you, who the fuck cares about Rush Limbaugh dying? Like that dude was a fucking asshole. I'm trying to think, like, did anybody like him at all? I'm sure, like, you know, the right-wing media, like, I'm sure Fox News, I wouldn't be shocked if, like, you know, MSNBC or CNN even does, like, a tribute, if you will, to him, you know, because I guess he putting it in quotes, he kind of pioneered, in a way, the conspiracy level shit on, like, a huge level. And people went with it, and I don't know, they just took it to a whole nother damn level, if you will. But no, man, this dude, he was a true asshole. I gotta tell you, he was the truest of truest assholes. I mean, I first of all, fuck him. May someone piss on his grave. This dude, he used to push that racist shit all the fucking time, man. I mean, he mocked Eric Garner's death. I mean, daily too. For at one point, I mean, he was just doing regularly. Didn't he mock? He mocked what's his name? Back to the Future, Michael J. Fox, Parkinson disease. Shit, I saw a video of that just yesterday. Someone posted a little clip of it, of him making fun of him and shit. He made fun of Ruth Bader, RBG, cancer diagnosis. What else did he do? Kurt Cobain, too. He would fucking rag on feminists, like, daily, because they didn't want his fat ass. He would talk shit, obviously, of black people, gay people. I think he had, like, segments and shit. Like, bashing gay. Instead of talking Kavanaugh, he was talking gays, like, on a fucking daily basis. Especially when they, like, there was a related STD of AIDS case, if you will. So he would openly mock them on that one. Who else? Am I missing anybody? Did maybe some handicap? I don't know. Maybe there were some Native Americans. I know he for sure made black people. That was obviously, I mean, you can't be a racist and not, you know, target black people. That just, that kind of just goes with the territory when you're racist. I mean, there's only going to be like, I was going to say two, but I guess you can just go ahead and say like every other race. I was going to say Muslims probably get it worse now after 9/11. You got Muslims, black people, Asian people. I know people think that's like some kind of myth, like, oh, Asian people just mind their business. No. We got some stories on that too. Asian people being beaten on streets and shit like that. And in restaurants, not even just in the streets, shit. Mexicans, obviously, they always get thrown in. You know what, funny enough, not really Mexican-Americans. Maybe they do. Maybe I'm just blanking on it. It's usually just the Mexicans in Mexico that just don't want anything but, you know, to provide for their kid and make their life a better than what they had, or make sure that their kid had, you know, better prospects, you know, because that's what America's all about. I'm getting into politics here, and I should be talking Kavanaugh. That's the name of the damn show, right? But I just wanted to say, fuck you, Rush Limbaugh. You know, I just wanted to raise my glass. You know what? I might even say that weekly now. So when we get to Whiskey Week, or even Mix and Match Week, which is coming up, might even say fuck you there, too. Might even say... Oh, I guess not Mix and Match. Beer Week. Whiskey Week, Beer Week, then... Okay, I'm getting my weeks all mixed up here now. So, yeah, that's coming up. All right. All right, I'm thinking in my head, like, hold on, what's the days here? God, I'm thinking we're already stepping into February. We're already about to, like, what, another week? Week and a half? Step into March here. I'm sorry, I'm sniffing this Cavalon here, and it's smelling great. So, let's get in some Cavalon talk here. Fuck you, Rush Limbaugh, by the way.
I don't know if I said that already, but fuck that guy. May he rot in hell, and hopefully that old saying of there's a special place in hell for that person, hopefully that exists. This is the one time I actually will believe in heaven and hell, and hopefully it exists, and hopefully he's in hell, and he's burning with Gandhi's racist ass. People didn't know that, did they? Why are you thinking South Park Gandhi was in hell? Like, there's a reason for it, okay? So, I was wrapping my head around this episode, what I was going to do. I kind of had it figured out, but I didn't want to do it after I did the Vinho one, because I've done this bottle, well, not this bottle particularly, but this cask, if you will, so much now. I would say this is probably my third time doing it now. Yeah, this is the third time. So, and two of the times last year. Matter of fact, the first time, if not mistaken, was the Martin Luther King. So that was last January then. So it wasn't that far from here. And we did the I Have a Dream bottle, and I did the Cavalon Sherry cask. The one that Henry got me. And then we did that again on, but we didn't do this cast. We did, the Total Wine cast. So I guess, technically, although I did this cast, I'm doing three different types of the sherry cast. So I did the one that Henry gave me. And then for June, when me and Yoon did the whole Cavalon cast strength episode, I did the one from Total Wine that I got off Christoph. And this one, I'm doing the Cavalon Sherry Cask that I got from Taiwan. I have a lot of fucking sherry casks. You know, I never thought about it until I looked into that my Cavalon cabinet there and was like, Jesus Christ. I mean, at the time, when I was getting these bottles, the sherry cask just seemed like the easiest one to get. And it was always the one I always caught on a deal or something like that. So I was just like, yeah, might as well get it, you know. Hell, even Yoon bought one. No, he didn't get it. He got his for $200. But even still, that's still a good price. Because I had got the one... Oh, we haven't done that cast yet. I got another one I got for $140 at K&L. Hooking me up with that retail at a beautiful price. So this one I got from Taiwan. And this one is the Cavalon Solist Sherry Cask 2016 edition. So this is the first time I ever traveled... Well, actually, that's a lie. It's the first time I traveled to Asia. So, yeah, it's not a lie. It's because before that, I was mainly just doing Europe. I didn't really go anywhere outside of Europe. I mean, obviously, you did the London and the Italy trips and stuff like that. But this was the first time I went to Asia, and I did an Asia tour, if you will. Stopped off in Korea. And I'm trying to remember. Did I end the trip? No, I ended the trip in Japan. I thought I ended it in Taiwan. So I went Korea, China, Taiwan, then Japan. Yeah, it was something like, it was around that area or whatever. So, and I had just got introduced into Cavalon. This is the reason why I picked this bottle to do, is because I feel like there's a good enough story to tell around it. I might have said last month that Henry got me my first bottle of Cavalon. Yoon obviously was the one to introduce me to it. And then when I went to Taiwan, this was the... first bottle I brought back, because I didn't buy any in China, and this was the only one I bought two bottles in Taiwan. It was this and the Omar, but this one was more special to me, if you will. And then when I went to Japan, I just kind of lost my fucking mind and brought back a lot of bottles, mainly Suntory stuff. I need to get my mini game up, though, because if you're a whiskey collector out there, man, those minis, little miniatures, Japanese or bourbon miniatures, man... those are just special. That's like a whole nother level of collecting whiskey. Something I probably could get into now because I feel like my collection is so knee deep now. I can start off into a new venture. And miniatures is just, that's just a whole nother crazy ass level. It's crazy money spent on these little miniature bottles too. Crazy. Might even be more than the 700, 750, or 500 milliliter bottles too. This is a 700 milliliter, obviously. If you, obviously this one has the name Solist on it because, well, I got it in overseas and they don't have that, that problem of, God damn it, what's the word? Why am I blanking on the word now? Jesus, what is the word? Oh, fuck. I'm blanking now. Oh, it's not a, patent. Jesus, God. So, as mentioned, most Cavalon bottles over here in America, they won't have the term Solist on them because, there's a trademark on it. I forgot which company has it, but they have that word on there. So most of the American bottles you'll see that get released over here, they won't say Solist on it. It's a really minor little detail. I mean, it doesn't really change the flavor unless the ABV is different. This one coming in at about a 57.8% ABV here. So it's not really bad here. It smells heavenly. Little history about this real quick. Taiwan. It's more of a tropical climate kind of country. It has like this like ocean breeze marine type, if you will. Which means that their whiskeys kind of will mature a little bit more quickly in the barrel compared to more temperate northerly climate like Scotland and Ireland. And you won't see age statements on Cavalon bottles or in Taiwan in general or whatever. So a lot of these bottles, I would say, because this still restarted in, say, 2006. So by the time this bottle came out, this was about a 10-year-age bottle. So they're relatively young. I would say now, what are we at? We're at 2016, over 10 years. So, yeah, they're still pretty young. But I do like, I don't think ages really matter, and I do like a little bit of an older taste, if you will. I do think Cavalon, in a way, is somewhat of a pioneer in changing the game of making non-age statement bottles rare, if you will. I would say more rare and popular. Well, I guess depending on popular, because I don't really see Cavalon as popular. I don't really see it as in high demand, at least in California. Not even just California. I would say in the country of the United States in general. I mean, especially in the East Coast. This bottle doesn't really get passed around as much in the East Coast. So California has a few people I know personally that loves it. But usually they'll just go for the regular stuff. Now, you know, like the Vinho and maybe the Fino, if they have it, the Fino. And then, you know, they'll have the King Car Cast set. Because don't get me wrong, they're good, but I just see those as, like, they're easy to grab, and plus they cost a lot of money, and I'm under this rule that I think most whiskey people just think that if they spend more money on a bottle, it must taste great, so I think that's that. But then I would say with most whiskey collectors, they just want something that's super rare, and when you see a $500 price tag on it, I was just like, that must be rare, I guess, right? For that brand. I don't think this brand is really that sought after in the United States. Canada, maybe. I haven't been to Canada since this bottle been dropping over there, but I know in Taiwan it's pretty huge. Japan, I would even say it's got like a little bit of notoriety, but obviously if it did, it would be rivaling Suntory, so it's just not as possible. So most of their whiskeys are quite young and tend to be and have heavily influenced by the type of cask they were matured in. So let's get on the nose here. Ooh, where did I buy this at in Taiwan? I think I bought this off of I bought this off a distributor at this bar I was at. I forgot the name of the bar. I got it, like, literally right when I got there. I didn't go to the distillery, though. Matter of fact, I didn't go to any distillery when I was, I went to the Yamazaki one, obviously. You can't buy shit, so. So, you can buy, like, you know, gift sets and stuff like that, but you can't buy liquor. I didn't go to the Cavalon one. I didn't go to Nika. Because Nika's too fucking far. It's nowhere near Tokyo. So it's between Osaka? Yeah, Osaka and fuck, I'm blanking on the other city. It's just nowhere near the city, to say the least, and it's far if you're in the city. And I spend most of my time in Tokyo. Anyway, though, I was really excited to bring this bottle back because it was like not really. I thought it was like the next big thing, so I was like really hyped up to bring this bottle back, and I've held on to it for a long time. I didn't really open this one until 2 years ago, maybe. And it's like pretty much down on its last legs. I know the one I did with Cody, that bottle's gone. So that bottle is finito. So, but this one, this is probably my last one that actually has the word Solist on it for Sherry Cast. So the rest of the solo casts I have, I bought all here in America. But yeah, I thought this was going to be the next big thing here in America. It turns out, only in my head it was. I mean, as far as the Asian market goes for the whiskey, I think it has a name and recognition here. But as far as being heavily sought after for whiskey people, I don't think so. Which I don't mind, actually, because I actually thought the price would be cheaper then for these bottles. Since it's not heavily, but boy, was I wrong. These bottles are fucking expensive. The Sherry Cask might be the cheapest. Well, between this and the ex-bourbon cask, those two might be the cheapest you can get your hands on. And I say cheap in quotations, too, depending on your level of cheap. Cheap to me is $50. These bottles ain't no $50. They'll run you about $150 to, especially for the Solus cask bottles, they'll run you $150 to $250 at the minimum. But on the nose here, you know what's great about these is, this is my favorite part of this. It's got that Cask Strength logo on it. You smell the Cask Strength. But it runs so heavenly smooth. Like it's not even Cask Strength. But yet you still taste it. I just think, I don't know if it's just because of what the cask they matured in. Or is it simply just because of the age statement on it. But whatever they do, it just really is like the perfection of Cask Strength. In my mind, if you will. Because, you know, the burn is nice every now and then, but, you know, I'm not looking for the burn in my, some of my cask drinks. You know what? I think the cask drinks, Redbreast is a perfect example, but then they kind of dwelled away from that. Now I think that cask drinks suck. I just think that their newer cask drinks, like the batches, A and B, and even the small batch one that just came out, they're overly priced, and they have no uniqueness of sticking out as a cask strength, especially when they have already a $60 12-year-old cask strength, and it tastes miles and miles better than all three, or shit, all five, if you will, if you catch all batches. Well, I only tried two of the batches, so, to be fair. But I used to think that was a perfect cask strength, but then I had these Cavalon ones, and going, these are just spot on perfect. I mean, it gives you that nice little tingly burn, but it doesn't overpower it. It's got nice spices. It's like a lick of cocoa powder, and especially on the nose. Oh, man. Oh, you get that full cask strength just blown in your face there. And funny enough, a lot of people actually don't like the Sherry Cask. If I'm not mistaken, someone told me, damn it, Ricky. Call your name out, brother. I know you said it recently to me. You said why people didn't like it, at least from what he heard. I can't remember if he said if it was because they're too oaky on the Sherry Cask. Which, I haven't had this one now that I think about it, since last summer. So, we'll see if that becomes a problem there. But I remember this used to be my favorite pour. It was damn near with the Total Wine one I had. That was like a daily pour for me. Especially when I had my apartment back in downtown Long Beach, I was pouring this thing like it was nobody's business on the weekends and after work too. On the nose, it's very sweet. That might be why most people didn't like it either. It's super sweet on the nose, but it's a Sherry Cask, so you kind of expect that, to be honest. But it's sweet and rich. You get that scent of raisin, but it's like, it's not overly fruity. It's got some sherry bombs in there. Definitely some dark fruits. This easily goes great with dark chocolate. Oh, man. It's just got like this... No, this goes for like a lot of the Cavalon cast too. It's just always got that tropical rainforest scent to it. Like it's a humid, like, you know, humid jungle out there with the Amazons getting some snoo-snoo on. It's got this nice complex smell. And the alcohol, it's not too much of a burn. It's more of like a tingle. It's just like as soon as you take that first whiff, it tingles right in the nose. But once you sniff it long enough, whatever, it's almost like when you sip on it, it just becomes like all natural. Let's go ahead and sip this thing. I've been talking for 20-something minutes now, and I haven't really even got dived into this yet, even though I've been sipping on it beforehand, but whatever. Thick and creamy. First thing that stepped in mind, you get that cherry. It's like a papaya taste to it. It's like thick and creamy on my palate, first off. On my palate, it's got like this cherry papaya taste. Obviously, you taste the raisins. The spices are there. It's like a sweet kind of cinnamon. Like a spicy cinnamon or whatever. Man. So. It's like a pudding texture. That's probably where the creamy part is. It's like a chocolate pudding. I think more on the palate too, I'm getting more of a cherry raspberry. Cherry and raspberries are like the two that sticks out. I think on the longer note though of the palate, it's more of a papaya. But the sherry bomb's just like bam, 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 bam. You know, I can see why comparing it to the Vinho now, I could see why this doesn't fall into some people's favorite, if you will. Or just not quite not liking it. Because I've heard some people say they just don't like some of these Cavalon casks. For me, I love them. Maybe that'll change this year. We'll see if I get burnt out on Cavalon. Because I lost my damn mind last year with buying them all. So, but now this still, I wouldn't say it still holds up. But it's still a solid pour. I did once, I think I did not that long ago last year, or last time I had this, I dropped some water in this, and I remember it, it lost a lot of its complexity, which I wasn't a fan of. I guess adding water does, you know, it does make a difference there, but, I wasn't a fan of that, basically, to me, it just became watered down. The more I sip on this, the more consistent it just stays. Doesn't switches over. You get into the finish here, it's really long. It's like really long. It sticks with you for quite a bit. The sweetness of it, too. I that might have been what Ricky said. Because that sweetness, it just sticks there for about as long as the finish does. Actually, that was a cool couple of seconds where I took that next sip there or whatever, and I was thinking about it. It was like, yeah, even after that long finish there, it's nothing but sweetness, like sweet raisins. Now, with that said, Okay, never mind. I'll take that back. I was going to say, I definitely can see why this probably wouldn't be the favorite, because I'm thinking of the other cast now, and going back to the Vinho, even though I talked more about Henry's barrel pick there, which was just fucking phenomenal. Did I give that a last drop? Oh, man. Oh, Henry, I don't know where the fuck you been at, dude. I haven't heard from you in months now, but I need another bottle, probably. That bottle is, like, fading away. Like, I got, like, probably, like, two more pours of it. And that thing is going to be bottle killed. It is fantastic, man. I mean, even it just... It even tastes better than the, I don't know, a 2019 Vinho. I think that's what I had with it. Oh, so good. I mean, when you compare it to that, then yeah, I could see why. You know, these the raisins, even though it's sweet and it's dropping cherry bombs on you, the raisins, it kind of dries out your palate a little bit. Like, my tongue is a little... Funny, because I don't taste any oakiness or, like, toasted barrels or anything like that on this or whatever, but, like, maybe that's what Ricky was trying to say to me. Like, it's got, like, this somewhat of an oakiness touch to it. I don't know what it is, and it kind of dries out the palate a little bit. I'm not a fan of that right there. Yeah, you know what? I wish I had some water. I would drop it in there just to see, just a little drop, maybe one drop, just to see if it breaks up that oakiness palette that it's giving me right now. The finish is all there. The finish is spot on, perfect, if you will. It's the palette. It leaves somewhat of an aftertaste. Because my finish is what I'm thinking about, because it's hitting me right in the throat. But man, I just can't get over my tongue right now. I'm not feeling that. Yeah, I'm not feeling that at all, actually. This is kind of, Now, if you're looking for, a cash drink that is super smooth, man, this is it. Like, it's funny because every time, I take a sip, I can feel the heat. But yet, when I'm, swallowing, it's smooth as hell. It's, like, really clean cut. I'm not a fan of this palate, though. The more I sip of it, it just kind of turns me off a little. I can see why now people didn't like this one the most. It's got to be those raisins. Because I taste that the most, and it's like... It feels like it's not really meshing well with the tropical fruits that are, or the dark fruits that's laid out there. I'm trying to really ponder my head around this too, but that's what I can think of at the moment here. We're pulling up on the 32-minute mark here, so I'm just going to go ahead and take another sip real quick. Let me just down this. I let it circle around my gums this time, whatever, you know, get that. And I feel the heat. I like it. I gave this to somebody, a lawyer of mine, actually. Him and his wife. His wife got him into whiskey. And I was just like, let me bring you some stuff then. So we had some sitting. It's funny, it was in the... Not during COVID, by the way. don't think I went to somebody's office or whatever. So we was at his office and in his conference room, too. Funny story. And I just... his wife, she didn't even work there, I think. But she was like, JB! I was like, hey, how's it going? I brought some goodies. I figured you guys were taking a little lunch break or whatever, if you will. Or actually, end of the day break. I mean, this is damn near dinner for them. Because it was like 5 o'clock or whatever. So, I poured this for them. And I opened the bottle and showed it to him. And first thing he said, oh, Jay. This is cash strength, man. I hate cash strength. He's like, I don't like that burn at the end. I just said, trust me on this. Trust me. Just sip it and just let me know what you think. And sure enough, he took a sip and he said, wow, that is super smooth. So one positive note to take out of this is it's just really smooth. I think Cavalon just, say whatever you will about there, but they just nailed it on smooth. They come off clean cut like nobody's business. Probably one of the smoothest brands out there, like a smooth criminal, you know, just skating on by. Annie, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? You know, I keep saying Cavalon, but I have heard some people say Cavalan. So somebody can correct me on that. Because I've heard some people say Cavalon, and I've heard some people say Cavalan. Maybe it doesn't fucking matter. Maybe it will. But, you know, if it is one of my favorite brands of whiskey, I would like to pronounce it correctly. Because I heard in Taiwan. Now, granted, this dude wasn't Taiwanese, so... That sold me the bottle. This dude wasn't Taiwanese, so... He said Cavalon. Take that how you want it, I guess. But back to the story with the lawyer, yeah, he enjoyed the hell out of this. I can't remember what his wife said. She was happy about it, too, because she doesn't like cash drinking either. But she did have a negative about it, but she said overall she would give it a solid thumbs up. So for me, overall, let me go ahead and finish the little drop I got here. That is the last drop now. For me, I would say to get the positives out the way, nails on the fruit flavor, nails on that I can pair this with food. It nails it in the, well, when I bought this bottle, yeah, it nailed it in the price range. I mean, most rhetorically, they all should be like in the 150 range. Price range, me. Presentation? Shit, I need to start talking more about presentation on these shows. Because nobody does it better. Well, I was going to say whiskey, but I've recently saw some badass cognac, like, presentations. Woo! Man, they were gorgeous. But when it comes to whiskey, excuse me. I look at this and go, this is one of the best presentations you could have in a bottle. I got bottle number 433 out of 522. I told you 57.8 ABV, 700 milliliter. Get the positives out the way. It's super smooth. It's a smooth criminal, baby. Price range is good. Presentation's A+. The finish is long and consistent. I love it. I'm not a fan of that palate, though. I think it drops that rating just a little bit, you know? I'm just not a fan of it. It's funny because we didn't even really do ratings on the last drop when we did this last June, when I did with Yoon. We just pretty much said, look, we're going to enjoy all these. This is just, we're finally sipping them all in one sitting and just... And when this pandemic over, I would love to do a Cavalon tasting. I mean, like, actually, like, sell tickets and have a Cavalon at, like, a restaurant or something like that. Do a little event. Have everybody come out, you know, pour some Cavalon. Get all the different casts out there that I have. But, that palate, man, it's not sticking with me. Well, it is sticking with me. It's just not sticking with me as far as my terms of liking it. Because I can't get this taste out of my mouth now. And I don't know if it's just this mesh combination of the raisins and the maybe the raspberries or whatever it is. It's just not a perfect taste, though. And it kind of dries out the... I don't want to say it dries out my tongue, but it... Because my tongue is pretty moist right now, but maybe that's because, though, I'm doing all this fucking talking. But every time I sip it, it just feels like it dries it out a little bit. So I'm not a fan of that part there. Overall, with that said, I'm going to wrap things up here, and I'm going to drop a solid... I was thinking 2.5. But you know what? I'll drop a solid 3 on this one. I'll give it some... I'll do that mainly because of price and presentation. This being one of the cheaper Cavalons in the $140, $50 range. And if you're lucky on K&L, you can get this for $150. So, I'll be generous on that one. You would think of this being an older Cavalon, too. Which I should have did the 2006 Sherry Cask that I have. It's another Cavalon yearly one I have. Because... I thought this one, the 2016, was good, but this one, I'm not a fan of that palette. So, with that said, I am wrapping things up, giving this a solid 3. Gonna get out of here now. Been going on for almost 40 minutes, and that's long enough for you people out there. So, poured me a little bit more, trying to, you know, figure this out. That, because I'm just thirsty, you know? To quote Will Smith, or Hancock, I've been drinking, bitch, you know? So with that said, hey, drink Cavalon every day. I fucked that all up, didn't I? Yeah, I kind of did, actually. So this has been Talking Cavalon, the JB Show. Gave you a little bit of the touch of that fuck Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, you got that a little bit. So you got a little bit of your politics in there. You got your story time with JB, and you got your sipping on Cavalon. That's enough for one episode right there. When I get back into my normal shit talking with Cody, when it comes up there. So I am your Godfather Whiskey. I'm JB. This is Talking Cavalon, the JB Show, the Sherry Cast 2016 edition here, and now we can do it. Hey, drink Cavalon every day. That was a shitty-ass clink. I gotta get another glass up here.